This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. You're invited over to a friend's house for dinner. You've got to go to the store to bring a bottle of wine. You get there and you look around and you face a dizzying array of those bottles at your local liquor store. Chablis, Chardonnay, Merlot, Montepulciano, what year, you have no idea. Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates visited the largest international wine competition in the country to see how the pros decide.
For most of us, that's the sound of celebration or relaxation or maybe the beginning of a romantic dinner. But for the more than 80 wine experts gathered in a large room on the Pomona County Fairgrounds, about an hour north of Los Angeles, the musical gurgle of wine splashing into a glass means one thing.
It is work. It's a very different environment than, you know, sitting down with some friends and having a glass of wine and a bite to eat.
That's Robert Small, wine professor at Cal Poly Pomona and head of the Wines of the World Competition's steering committee. Small is not saying that at times the work can't be enjoyable, but for even the most passionate enophile, 120 wines a day for 3 days in a row, which is what these guys are faced with, has got to take the edge off the fun. Wine is serious business. According to the San Francisco-based Wine Institute, Americans bought almost $22 billion worth last year alone, so it's treated seriously at competitions like this. By the time we get to the judging room, it's only 11 a.m., but it's clear a lot of judging has already taken place. Push open the glass doors and the fragrance of fermented grape just about knocks you over. You could probably get a contact high from the fumes alone, and it's pretty noisy in here. And we didn't even take the spitting into account.
Delish.
Yes, spitting. Near each judge's chair is a big aluminum bucket filled with sawdust that gets wetter and wetter as the day wears on. If the judges swallowed everything they tasted, they'd be using these buckets for a way uglier purpose. A half dozen wine experts sit at each cloth-draped table. Arrayed in front of each judge are about a dozen stemmed glasses. Each glass is placed in the same order and holds exactly the same amount. A round of paper slipped over each glass's base informs judges which wines they're tasting by number. Water, small chunks of plain bread, and bits of apple serve as palate cleansers.
All right, 17, here we go. All right, we got three golds, bronze.
At the back of the room, a table full of casually dressed guys watch as yet another cart of wine clinks toward them. Fred Dame is a large, jovial man, and not only is he a sommelier, those guys who in restaurants advise you on food-wine pairings, he's a certified master sommelier, one of only about 100 people in the world and the only American who holds that title. Dame beckons the wine bearers.
Bring them out.
Dame's colleagues are New Zealand winemaker Nick Goldschmidt, Canadian wine master Howard Soon, Englishman Barry Burton, who chairs the Hong Kong Wine Society, and Frenchman René Chazot, another master sommelier. How do such disparate palates and nationalities ever get to agree on what they judge? Nick Goldschmidt explains.
When you have all those wines brought into one site, and we're all sitting here in one location with many different palates tasting this, I think what each one of us has is an understanding of the style from their particular country and region, but at the same time, you can see it on an international platform.
René Chazot says the judges keep in mind that they're not awarding points based on their personal preferences. Instead, they're seeking to use their collective expertise to guide consumers so they have a satisfying wine experience and feel they've spent wisely.
When you go through many, many wines, you try to find the best made balance. So by giving a gold or silver, we give a seal of approval to people who don't know wine, who want kind of sense of comfort zone.
Wine merchants are feeling some of that comfort too. Mary Ellen Cole, who manages the Pomona competition, all 4,000 entries, says medal-winning wines don't stay on the shelves very long.
Usually a wine gets a gold medal, they sell out right away. So I think it just helps promote the wine.
But before they can award medals, judges have to taste a lot of wines, not all of them fabulous, like this unfortunate specimen. Fred Dame interprets the groans we hear all around the table.
This is what Merlot should not smell or taste like.
And Barry Burton reveals the warning professionals sometimes give to each other.
DNPM, do not put in mouth. Little acronym.
Beyond the yuck factor, there are other hazards too. After being exposed to the tannic acids in the ocean of red wines they taste, judges' teeth often become stained and sensitive. Burton knows this from first-hand experience.
The teeth are the things that go if you have a problem. You get electrolyte imbalance. It's happened to me only once, but and it then gets painful putting anything into your mouth. Yeah.
Apparently, to prevent that, many judges simply forego brushing during competitions. Their smiles don't look so great, but it protects their tooth enamel. This is only the halfway mark of the competition, so grotty teeth aren't in evidence here yet, but something else is. A notable lack of women judges. In this room full of khaki pants and running shoes, Leslie Sobroko, a wine writer and author of Wine for Women, a guide to buying, pairing, and sharing wine, stands out in her bright red jacket. Women, Sobroko says, are wine's biggest consumers and are starting to become a larger presence in the professional wine world that's still dominated by men. So she comes to this competition to help even up the gender imbalance, and for another reason.
When you're getting a chance to taste with the top wine writers in the country, with the top retailers, with the top winemakers, it's an experience you can't forego. And every one of us looks forward to being invited back year after year and laboring our way through 120 wines in a day.
A bit later, when the judges break for lunch out on the patio, wine is available, but soft drinks seem to be disappearing faster than half-priced Dom Pérignon. Syndicated wine columnist Dan Berger says competitions like this are valuable because when judging, he gets to see many versions of the same type of wine side by side.
You see 30 of these and 40 of those, and when you see that many, you can really show the trends just pop right out.
But Berger also sees competitions like this one having an influence on wine production that worries him.
More than anything else, I think that the winemakers are sort of reacting to the higher scores. I think they see that high scores sometimes are given to wines of higher alcohol, so they try to make the wines a little bit more like that. Maybe the higher score helps them to sell a little bit more. I'd much prefer to see a wine of balance that really works with food.
Wine fashion is usually cyclical, so Berger hopes the pendulum eventually will swing back to wines with lower alcohol content. And after tasting all this wine, what will Berger drink when he's off the clock?
It has to be wine this evening because we're going to a dinner where they're going to serve it, but I hope that they have a beer there for me.
And a designated driver for the ride home. For Day to Day, I'm Karen Grigsby Bates.